Welcome to The Glider Show, the audio podcast about learning how to fly gliders. I'm your host, Sam Deeks, and I'm training to be a glider pilot at Devon and Somerset Gliding Club. That's a busy member-run club in the southwest of the UK. You're invited to follow me on my journey from self-critical, reluctant trainee to self-confident, yes, I'll take that fourth launch, and by the way, I want to do everything myself, so just pretend you're not there, would you? Solo glider pilot. I'm pleased to announce that The Glider Show seems to be growing in popularity. Show number 16, Mind That Cadillac, has been listened to an amazing 1,400 times in the 3 weeks since it was published. If things continue like this, then The Glider Show could soon be an effective vehicle for one or two select sponsors. Who knows? Let's see where it goes. Meanwhile, I'm pleased to have found a way of recording the show that's much less stressful than sticking my head in a foam-lined box at home or in the office. Low-tech though it is, The Glider Show these days is recorded sitting in the quiet of the Devon countryside in my surprisingly noise-free Toyota RAV4 with the show script on my iPhone in front of me, and it's much more fun and a lot more relaxed. So in this week's show, I get some great encouragement and support from the instructors and members of my new gliding club. I get a surprise gift in the post from The Glider Show's very own Australian ambassador, Mr. Pat Pulis of Adelaide Soaring Club. I also learn how to run the launch log on a busy day at North Hill Airfield and watch a Devon and Somerset Gliding Club member go solo, aged just 14. And best of all, I silence my bloody annoying inner critic to win back some much-needed confidence. But first, a look at this week's gliding news from Google. Glider surprise for golfers. Golfers had more than just water hazards and bunkers to contend with when a glider from Husbands Bosworth landed on the fairway of the 16th hole. It is believed the glider pilot, Luke Dale, lost altitude and was forced to land while taking part in the Midland Regional Event Series, which was staged throughout last week from the gliding centre at Husbands Bosworth. The glider landed at Stapleford Park near Melton Mowbray. The golf club's PGA professional Rich Alderson used a golf buggy to retrieve Mr. Dale and his co-pilot John Ravenscroft from the course and took pictures of the aircraft. "I was in the clubhouse when I got a call from one of the members on the course," said Rich. The glider landed safely on the course, well away from the luxury hotel and spa, which has hosted many top celebrities like Joan Collins, Mariah Carey, and the late Michael Jackson. But its latest visitors were certainly some of its most unexpected. Tornado pilot narrowly avoided smashing into glider over Scotland by flipping plane into dramatic inverted loop at 500 miles an hour. A tornado pilot narrowly avoided smashing into a glider by flipping his plane into an inverted loop at 500 miles per hour, it was revealed today. The RAF pilot was on a low-level training mission when he was forced into the manoeuvre known as a bunt, just 250 feet above the ground. The pilot had a mere quarter of a second to carry out the aerobatic move after seeing the glider at the very last moment and missing it by just 100 feet. The white DG808C motor glider, which has a 22-yard wingspan, was flying a route from Portmoke, Kinross, in April. The report states that the pilot of the £9.4 million tornado fighter spotted the glider at a distance of 500 yards. The report said he bunted and passed 100 foot below it. A definition of the bunt aerobatic manoeuvre is half an outside loop starting from upright, straight and level flight. The pilot pushes the stick forward and draws a half circle in the sky from the top down. And if you imagine it's like a letter C, and as you come round at the bottom, you're upside down, travelling parallel to the ground in the opposite direction. Now draw it on a piece of paper for yourself, 500 miles an hour. 250 feet off the ground, according to the article. Room to go into a dive and right round until you're flying back the way you came, but inverted? I don't think so. Correct me if I'm wrong. If you're a fighter pilot and you could do that in 250 feet, please correct me, but I think that's a piece of crap journalism. I really would like to know what actually happened in that incident. Lucky escape for glider pilot. A glider pilot had a lucky escape when his aircraft came down in a field close to a railway line in Old Farm Park on Tuesday afternoon. Emergency services responded to calls that a glider had crashed, but upon arrival, the man had already emerged from the aircraft uninjured. The glider was heading for Cranfield, but came down in a field near Beethoven Close. The Thames Valley and Chiltern Air Ambulance also arrived at the scene. That's expensive. but the man was able to walk away with no more than cuts and bruises. Now, landing out must seem pretty dramatic to anyone who isn't a glider pilot, but perhaps reporters should be told it happens all the time. And also, perhaps the air ambulance should be told that it happens all the time. That is a lot of money spent. 70th anniversary of glider crash that killed Mayor William Becker. Thursday marks the 70th anniversary of a glider crash that killed 10 people, including the mayor of St. Louis at the time, William Becker. On August 1, 1943, Mayor Becker and nine others boarded the glider made by Robertson Aircraft Corporation at St. Louis Airport. Approximately 5,000 people crowded the area to watch the flight. Shortly after its release from a cargo plane, the glider's left wing broke. A moment later, the right wing started to fold and both fell off the plane. All 10 occupants plummeted 2,000 feet to the ground, killing everyone on board. Now, I googled the original newspaper reports for this accident, and there's a pretty terrible picture of the stricken glider heading to its doom. A bit more research revealed that the job of making the retaining bolts for the wings appears to have been given, ironically, to a casket maker, and it was his poor workmanship that led to the failure. Disposable World War II glider cockpit recreated in Gloucestershire. The cockpit of a Horsa glider is being recreated as part of an exhibition for the new Jet Age Museum at Staverton. Made by cabinet makers, the wooden giants, with an 88-foot, 27-metre wingspan, were designed to carry large numbers of troops and supplies to an enemy target. Coordinator Trevor Davis said they were disposable and never designed to come back, which is why there are so few. Yeah, that's a pretty good point. Assembled at Minchin Hampton and Little Rissington in the county, they had the advantage of landing soldiers and supplies together rather than scattering them by parachute and allowed troops to be deployed without parachute training. They delivered not only troops but armaments and vehicles in a very economical way when resources were very difficult, said Mr. Davis. They were most famously used in Operation Market Garden, the assault on Arnhem in September 1944. The glider pilot regiment suffered 90% casualties during the battle. Woman glider pilot hurt in crash near Northallerton. A glider pilot has been taken to hospital after her machine crashed into the ground during an aerial competition. The accident happened shortly after 1 p.m, July the 31st, as the female pilot was taking part in a northern regional competition. Her aircraft crashed into a field by Stony Lane at East Harlesey near Northallerton, and fire appliances from Northallerton Thirsk and Beedale were sent to the scene. The crew used heavy cutting equipment to help free the pilot, a woman thought to be aged 54, and she was taken to the James Cook University Hospital in Middlesbrough by air ambulance. It's thought she was suffering from leg injuries, but her condition is not thought to be serious. The glider was one of a number taking part in a regional flying competition based at the Sutton Bank home of the Yorkshire Gliding Club. A spokesman at the club confirmed the aircraft had been flying from the Sutton Bank airfield for the competition. "We are looking at the glider now and our investigation procedures are kicking in," he said. "We are checking to see what might have happened, and depending on the results of that, it may go to higher authorities to look at." At the Gliding Club. Early in the week, I had been wavering about when I was next going to go to the Gliding Club. As you heard in the last show, I was frustrated at my inability to master stick and rudder coordination, and my heart wasn't exactly in it when I emailed Mark at Devon and Somerset Gliding Club last week to find out if he was flying at the weekend. Not for the first time, Mark picked the perfect moment to write me back an encouraging and supportive email. That tipped the scales for me, and I decided that Saturday was going to be the day. So I'm here in the launch vehicle with Jonathan, who's training me how to use the system. And it's a nice little laptop in a very, very high-tech cardboard surround cutaway, but it's very effective, seems to work.
Available from all good supermarkets.
Okay, we've got something landing, which is it's taxing me. Page up. That one.
F12. It's right, you don't have to be, you don't have to tab to it. F12 will just stick it in it. Wherever you are in that record, F12 will do it.
Okay.
So you don't need to worry about it. Right. So how long did he get? 6 minutes.
Okay, good. Yes, so Jonathan's been showing me the system here, different from my experience at Dartmoor. Probably in one way that it's a lot busier here. So it's quite taxing.
We've got sort of three or four in the queue, four or five in total, actually. And there's a few more rigging at the moment, so it's going to get busier.
Certainly not worth getting in a junior if it's 4 minutes at the moment. Absolutely. Not worth rigging my glider.
Oh, I see what you mean. You know, for 4 minute flights.
No, I was lucky on Thursday, I had a 50 minute flight. In my own glider. Hmm.
So would that be what you would do on a day? On a day like today, just sort of you get the advantage of having a sense of what the flights are like.
Yeah,
the
when they talk about pundits in gliding, somebody one of the instructors defined it the other day because he's been grumpy at me and my syndicate partner. Said, "Trouble is, you've become pundits. You don't rig unless it's looking good." You think, "Well, yeah, why would I?" Mm. It takes 20 minutes to rig, so really, you want a 20 minute flight. Rigging, one of the worst things is rigging, hanging about, flying for 5 minutes and de-rigging, so you spend longer messing about. And I've noticed in our first year of ownership, our average flight times were much shorter because we were just desperate to try it and kept flying it in whatever condition. And in our second, just finishing our second year of ownership, our averages have gone up because we're all picking days.
Much more discerning, I mean, you can see it makes sense, doesn't it? If you're learning like I am, then you want every 5 minute circuit.
I remember standing there and thinking, watching people like me, thinking, why wouldn't you fly? Mm. And you go, well, because
I've done everything I need to do
this week. Yeah. I'm just using my time.
I've got Peter with me here, and Peter, how old are you?
I'm 14.
14, and something great happened today?
Well, yeah, I went solo, my first solo in a glider.
Fantastic. And tell us what it was like.
It's just amazing feeling that there's actually no one in the back there in case of anything. I think the adrenaline really kept me going.
What were you feeling before as you were sitting on the ground?
Well, my instructor asked someone to get his straps ready. And so the person put them out on the side ready for him to get in. And he said, "Oh no, I'm not flying with him." And so I just overheard that and I was like, what?
So you didn't know up to that point?
No. And then he said, gave me a little chat at the side about how the glider may react slightly differently with no one in the back. And he just pat me on the back and sent me up.
How did you feel at that moment when you knew you were going on your own?
Well, my heart was beating at some unreal rate. Yeah. It was really...
And when you got off the ground, what was that like?
I just kept hold of the release and just made sure I just followed everything as I'd been taught and just... I just looked at where I was planning to go. I decided to go and try and fly the ridge where there was a little thermal, but I decided just to fly slowly through it to get the energy from it.
Did you think about coming straight back, or you were trying to play out there for a bit?
I was never planning on trying to thermal or anything. I was just making sure, I just kept checking, constant lookouts to make sure there were no gliders following me. There was one glider, there was a junior, that was launching, and anything that was working was all by the winch. Yeah. And so as I saw him starting to do his ground one, I decided to, you know, pull away and try and look elsewhere for something else.
And how do you feel now having done it?
Oh, it's amazing.
What next?
Just work towards bronze and cross country. I mean, future, I really want to be a basic instructor and do a few trial lessons and evening group flights
and train other people.
Yeah, I really...
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well done. It looked great from where we were sitting.
Thanks.
Nice one. Somebody just shouted 10 minutes to a rainstorm or something. Brilliant. I'll probably be... Shall we go through with it?
Up to you, Sam. It's your flight. Yeah. If you want another... I can pay and I'll take you for a quick whiz. I think you should concentrate on just doing a bit more coordination. Forget about what I want to do.
I'd like to do it. I'd like to fly the whole thing and just remind myself that I can do it.
You can do it. You have done it.
Including the brakes.
Yeah. If you'd like to have a go with the brakes, you can have a go with the brakes this time. It's not a problem at all.
I'll probably need to give myself a long run up, though.
Yeah.
Knowing me.
Have a go at doing it with the brakes this time. The key thing to remember with this is that the stick controls what? And what's
speed.
Yeah. So the brakes control...
Rate of descent.
Right. Very simple. So if you're descending too quickly, can't maintain your speed because you want to push the stick forward, but you can't because your descending too quickly,
yeah.
you must close the brakes in yeah. order to be able to maintain the speed.
Yeah.
Push the stick forward.
Yeah.
Have a go at it. I haven't got any problem with that whatsoever.
Okay.
I'll pretend to go to sleep with that.
The silent treatment.
That's what we do to you just before we send you solo, you see. Yeah. Just, I'm not here. I will only intervene if there's...
I wonder if I could make myself believe that.
What?
That you're not here. I wonder if I could convince myself of that.
Well, just pretend I'm not here. Say I passed out on the launch, first part of the launch. I won't say anything to you then. Pretend I'm not here, shall I?
Well, it'd be the ultimate test of how I do it, wouldn't it?
Mm. Well, I'm sure a sense of self-preservation would kick in and you would, you know, find a way of getting it back on the ground, don't you?
Yeah. Land across the airfield properly. Okay.
That's it, really.
Yeah. Okay. Cable on, please. Thank you.
No, I just want to close your window, Sam.
Oh, yeah, Matt, again. Thank you. I don't know who said that, but...
What's that?
Put somebody in the back.
Oh. It's gone. Just jumped out. It's all you.
Talking to myself, since Simon is no longer in this aircraft, and I'm making sure I'm trimmed for about 45 knots, which I just about am there. There's rain coming in ahead of us, so I'm not going to stay around. I'm going to make a turn to the right. Slow. Some speed back up. I've got 900 feet, so I can afford one turn to the left, I think. I know Simon would have wanted me to do it. I need to get some distance away. And all that. So pretend I'm on my solo, so I'm going to aim to get back home in one piece. And the long runner, still too high angle. Lots of height, probably too much. got lots of room too. Nice centre line and turn it down. Final.
Back now.
That was good.
What do you think?
Well, I survived.
Well, you've just proved a very good point to yourself, haven't you, really, that little exercise. I know it's probably not in the instructor's manual anywhere. But I didn't say or do anything for the whole duration of that flight.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not going to tell you it was the tidiest performance I've seen.
It wasn't.
Okay. But you, in your mind, you can manage, take off, fly,
think, get around, correct,
and use the air brakes and everything. Yeah. We'll have a little chat about a few bits, but it was it brought a smile to the face in places. But well done, that's very good.
Making sense of self-criticism and the power of what you tell yourself. Well, there's no mistaking how much that last flight meant to me. If there's one thing I've learned throughout this process of learning to fly gliders, it's the power of what I tell myself. We've all heard that saying, whether you tell yourself you can or you can't, you're right, and it's absolutely true. My trouble is that I can be extremely self-critical. If I can't do something the first time, I get very frustrated and sometimes angry with myself. A good example of this is my struggle with contact lenses. I couldn't instantly do it, and I got angry with myself, telling myself that I was an idiot for not being able to do it. I noticed that I was developing a similar self-critical story about my stick and rudder coordination. I didn't get it first time and it bugged me. The more I thought about it, the more it bugged me and the less I felt I could do. Thankfully, other people also picked up on my self-criticism. People like Mark Courtney and Simon Leeson at the Gliding Club. Both Mark and Simon, and Dave as well, went out of their way on Saturday to help me overcome that limiting self-criticism. Mark encouraged me throughout the week. Dave gave up time on Saturday to help me practice on the ground, and Simon gave me great feedback in the air, and most importantly of all, at the point where I said I wanted to do everything, including the air brakes, he understood what I needed and agreed for me to do it. If you listen back to the audio, you can hear that for a moment he's not sure about me doing the air brakes, but he changes his mind because he understands what I need and why. But before all of that, and before my first flight of the day, which in fact was my first winch launch ever at this club and in this aircraft, I told myself out loud, I am switching off my critical inner voice now and giving myself permission to get up there and do it without any judgment. And I'm pleased to say it worked. Comms. The Glider Show has some new Twitter followers. A warm welcome to David Tovey, Fliegen NL, Gavin Campbell, The Flying Show, skilledpilots.com, Jake Matthews with some nice little icons there. I don't know how you get those little visual icons next to your name in Twitter. I wish I knew. Avia Time, Ian Graham, the scarily named Pentagon USA, and Robert Paulson. Now, in emails this week, Mark Lawson wrote, he says, Hi, Sam. I have listened to all your podcasts so far and find them a real pleasure to listen to. I particularly like the news section, which, although can sometimes contain some unfortunate news of incidents, I find it much better to learn from other people's mistakes than my own. That's a good point. The audio from your flights is also enjoyable to listen to and to get a sense of your progression towards solo flight. Flying is not easy, and I had trouble at the start coordinating controls. The piece of string is your best friend. Just move your legs until it's always in the middle, a sort of string-to-legs feedback loop. It will fall into place, just keep at it. Oh, and aerotoes are difficult. I used to be all over the place. At home, when the weather isn't good, I use Microsoft Flight Simulator X and find this very useful, although it lacks the feel of real flight. I have the UK VFR scenery and tree add-on. Yes, you can buy trees for FSX, which increase realism. I found it very useful later on when looking at navigation skills, which you will come on to after solo, I'm sure. But be careful if you use it without rudder pedals early on in your training, as it may be sending mixed messages to your brain. And you're absolutely right there. As I mentioned before, a couple of years in the past of playing flight simulators and flying dogfights in virtual Spitfires using only the joystick as a way of controlling the aircraft is probably the worst kind of training that a novice glider pilot could have. I fly from Nymphs Field in Gloucestershire, and we also have a seasonal magazine which you may be interested in looking through. And I did, Mark, it was very interesting. He says, if you're ever in this part of the country, feel free to drop by. Best regards. Mark, I'll put a link to the magazine, your magazine, in the show notes so other people can have a look. It's a good example of what you can do for, I think, very little money. It's great to be able to produce a PDF. You can make it look very professional, publicise your gliding club, and without any of the costs associated with making print copies. So PDFs, electronic magazines, a brilliant way to promote your club, and Mark's club's example, well worth taking a look at. Now, a couple of months back, Pat, our Australian gliding ambassador, said he was sending me a gliding book written by a friend of his. Time passed, a lot of it, and the book seemed to have got lost somewhere on the trail between Adelaide and Devon. Now, finally, I found the package waiting for me last week on my return from London, and I was gobsmacked, as they say over here in the UK, to find a large, glossy hardback volume called Advanced Soaring Made Easy by Austrian glider champ Bernard Ecke. To top it off, there's a signed dedication on the inside. Thanks, Pat and Bernard. I'm very grateful to you both. Pat emailed later to suggest doing some interviews with Bernard when they meet face-to-face in the coming months. He writes, I called Bernard yesterday and we had a chat last night, and he too is more than keen to promote gliding and would love to add some Australian content. Anyway, Bernard is coming around to my place next week on Thursday evening at 7 to see my RV10 under construction. Yes, you did tell me about that aircraft before, Pat. He says it's a four-seater aircraft I've been building for the last 9 years that cruises at 170 knots, and we'll be doing an interview over some red wine from my cellar and some eats. That's great. I look forward to hearing that. Pat listed a whole range of subjects to talk to Bernard about, and have to say, pretty much any of those are good, solid content for the Glider Show, so look forward to it. And that's about it for Glider Show number 17. I'd like to thank you all for listening and for downloading the Glider Show in increasing numbers, and also for putting those very kind 5-star reviews in iTunes. Now, I do what I do because I love it. Knowing that you also enjoy it or get something out of it is a real bonus for me. So thank you for all your emails, tweets, comments, and reviews, and keep them coming. As always, I invite you to join in with me by contributing audio to the show. I'm interested in hearing whatever it is you've got. It could be a voice message, some sounds from your gliding club, an interview you did with someone in your gliding community, or just a chunk of time in the sky with you, flying wherever you fly around the world. If you can capture it with your smartphone or MP3 audio recorder, then just send it to the Glider Show at ukglider@hotmail.com, and I'll try to put it into the next show. Well, soon it will be a year since I started doing this podcast, and time has literally, wait for the pun, flown by. But what a great thing to do, to get into a beautiful wooden or glass fibre engineless airplane and become part of the big, restless, moody sky. Until next time, fly safe and remember to leave that cruel inner critic well and truly grounded.